a lot of issues. They have a lot of problems going on, and we won't get into most of those things today, but he's trying to help this church, right? And he corrects them and rebukes them at times, but it's all for the purpose of getting them back on track. Listen, guys, we're all going to get off track sometimes, but never get disassociated from the Bible, from spiritual people, because that's what will keep you on track and get you back. So let's all ask ourselves, make sure we're teachable and that God can correct us, because sometimes if we don't watch it, people will say, hey, you need to watch this area, and we get all defensive or we get all angry about it, right? That's not going to help anybody, especially not going to help you. So make sure you have a teachable, willing spirit to learn and to get back things that God would be pleased by. In 1 Corinthians 15, he's dealing with the resurrection. Listen, there were some people in the church, guys. Listen, there were some people in the church that had fallen into the lie that there was no resurrection from the dead. Okay? I don't know where they got this from. Probably some false teachers came in, but they began to believe that and to hold on to that. And Paul's saying, guys, how can you say there's no resurrection from the dead? Listen, guys, our whole Christian experience, all of Christianity, is built on the resurrection of the dead. If Jesus didn't get up 3 days after he died, guys, we have no faith. We have no religion. We have nothing to hang our hat on. And he goes through this. He talks about some of the eyewitnesses that saw Jesus after he raised from the dead. Let me hit some of these real fast, if we can. This is verses 12 through 19. So look back in that area. I'll give you some quick notes about this. So like I said, some people had bought into the lie that there was no resurrection, right? So verse 12, he said, now if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, he's saying that's what we preach, how say some among you that there is no resurrection from the dead, of the dead? But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? He's saying, so first of all, Christ is still dead. Okay, that's a problem. Verse number 14, if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain. He's saying, listen, all the apostles' preaching, it's a lie. All right? Everything that you've trusted in, everything that they put out in front of you, all gospel preaching is useless if there's no resurrection from the dead. He says your faith also is vain. Guys, all the prayers that we put in, all the struggle, all the believing God, all of that, he's saying all of that's vain, empty, worthless if there's no resurrection from the dead. That's a big deal, right? Listen, all the preaching is because we have a resurrection. All the faith that we put in, all the belief that we muster, it's because there is a resurrection that we believe in. Verse 15 talks about how the apostles would also be liars. He says, we are found false witnesses. Verse 16, if the dead rise not, then is Christ not raised. Verse 17, if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain and ye are yet in your sins. You know what that's saying? You're yet in your sins, guys? That sin's power is unbroken. That you're still trapped in it. That you're still held in that sway. Man, he's showing, listen, you say there's no resurrection. By the way, people are very easy to cast off what they believe sometimes. Okay? And he's saying, for these people, you act like there's no such thing as the resurrection from the dead. He's saying you can't throw that out with all these other things not going with it. Okay? There's a lot of ramifications is what he's saying. Verse 17, they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. That's talking about the dead in Christ, those that have already died in the Lord. Brothers and sisters that we've had that have passed on that are now in heaven. Listen, if there's no resurrection, they're not in heaven. They're perished. They've died and they are perished. And then verse 19, and if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. You know what he's saying? If this is it, if there's no life after death, if there's no heaven, if there's no resurrection that ties all that together, he's saying, listen, we're of all men most miserable. We're wasting our time. It's wasteful. It's stupid. It's pointless what we're doing. That's what he's saying. So you know what Paul's building on? He's saying, listen, don't think you can throw all that stuff out the window and say, oh, I don't believe this resurrection stuff without all these other things going too. He's saying, listen, this is a foundational doctrine that we hold on to. I'll give you two more and then we'll get into our immediate passage. Verse 29, he talks about the baptism for the dead. A lot of people get confused on that and what is this talking about? Listen, guys, you know what I think? He's just linking it with what he's already been talking about. Listen, if Jesus didn't raise from the dead, then there would be no point to baptism, right? baptism would last a long time. A lot of dead people, because we would go down and wouldn't come up if Jesus didn't rise from the dead, right? Baptism would be pointless. And then one last one that I'd like to share with you, verse 32. He said, if after the manner of men I have fought with beasts at Ephesus, what advantage is it me if the dead rise not? Let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. You know what he's saying? Paul's life himself, he sacrificed, right? Guys, I mean, he was stoned to death for preaching the gospel and all the things that he went through, the shipwreck and the beatings and the imprisonments and all that kind of stuff. He suffered for it, right? He put it out there. He gave his all for the cause of Christ. He's saying, listen, if the dead rise not, what's the point? You see what he's saying in verse 32? He's saying, listen, I've fought with beasts at Ephesus. I think he's talking about evil people that are trying to destroy his life, destroy his ministry. He's saying, what does it advantage it me if the dead rise not? Let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. Hey, guys, you can't, and this is the next verse here, be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. You know what that's talking about? If you get false doctrine in your mind, it affects the way you live. You understand that? That's what he's saying there in verse 33. He's saying, listen, you can't believe that there's no resurrection and there not be huge ramifications in your life, in your ministry, and in the people that you're trying to influence in a positive way. So guys, listen, what are you listening to? What kind of friends do you have? And what are they saying? What are they speaking in your ear? What are you listening to as far as music? What are you watching on the TV? It makes a difference. Listen. You need to check yourself if there's things that you watch or you listen to that don't jive with what the Word of God says. I'm telling you, it's going to affect your life. Evil communications corrupt good manners or practices. So stay away from those things and make sure you're believing right. Okay? He's dealing with the resurrection, as I said. And he talks about how that's going to happen at the end of the chapter. And then he generally, in verse 57, says this. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, guys, death is not the end for the Christian. It's just the beginning. Okay? As a Christian, yes, we will still die, but when Christ comes back, we'll be raised from the dead. And when we talk about resurrection, guys, that's the raising of the physical body. Okay, this physical body that we have, yes, we'll die, we'll be buried in a grave, but when Christ comes back, we'll be raised again. He'll give us a new transformed body that can inhabit heaven. Okay, so thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. You have victory in the Lord. All right, not only victory physically, like we talked about forever, but guys, you can have practical victory in your life. And then he gets to this point, verse 58. He says, therefore, my beloved brother, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know, your labor is not in vain in the Lord. He's saying, all right, we've got it established that we believe that this resurrection will happen. We have this victory now in Christ because of that. He's saying, because of that, you should be steadfast and unmovable and always abounding in the work of the Lord. Listen, guys, this is everyone's job in the room. This is my job. This is your job. This is something that you are responsible for in your life. So you say, all right, then what are we talking about here? Guys, in a day and age of adapting to cultures, compromising doctrines and beliefs, backing off a strong stand and throwing out standards, ultimately trying to please men more than God, what should we be doing? That's the day and age that we live in, guys. More and more people push things out that are not popular for people to believe. Or the things that we hold on to say, well, some people won't like that. Listen, guys, what do we need to be about? What do I need to be about? What do you need to be about in your particular life? How can we handle our lives in a way that pleases God? This is what I want to preach on today quickly. It's time to lock it in. It's time to lock it in. Listen, this is not time to get wobbly. This is not time to start throwing things out that people don't like. This is not time for us to try to everything that we believe make it politically correct. Listen, it's time to lock it in. It's time to square ourselves down and settle ourselves on what the Word of God says. Listen, we've got to have this. We've got to have this in your age group. Got to have this in my age group more and more. We need young men that'll step up and say, listen, I'm going to stand on what the Word of God says. Let's dive into this quickly. It's time to lock it in. First of all, the aggressiveness of your stand. Point number one, the aggressiveness of your stand. He says, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast. Steadfast. You know what steadfast is talking about, guys? It means to be firm, means to be fixed, to be resolute, unwavering, determined, to not let up. That's what steadfast is all about. Listen, it means to be strong. It means to be firm in this. The aggressiveness of your stand. Listen, we've got to be aggressive if you expect to stand. Listen, guys, this battle that we're in is like a football line of scrimmage. If you expect to stand your ground, you need to be pushing just so that you can keep your position, if not move forward. Listen, if you expect to just stand there and I'll be good, there's no pressure against me, you're going to be on your back very quickly. Okay? You've got to put forth some force. You got to put forth some effort. I forget who said it earlier, maybe DeMichael. Listen, if we're not putting forth effort in the Christian life, we can't expect to grow. Let me add something onto that. If we're not putting forth effort in the Christian life, don't expect to make it. Don't expect to make it. We've got to push. We've got to personally put in some force and some effort in our lives. Be steadfast. Listen, are you being steadfast in your life, in your Bible reading? Are you being steadfast in your prayer life? We talked about soul winning earlier. Are we being steadfast in these areas? Aggressive, and doing this on purpose. When he says this, guys, he's addressing it to the saints. He's saying, therefore, my beloved brethren, that's Christians, that's you, that's me. That's if you trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior at any point in your life, this is talking about you. Listen, are you being aggressive? The aggressiveness of your stand, he says to be steadfast. He's talking to the saints and he's saying, listen, there's a striving that's going on. There's a battle that we're facing. Guys, it's masterminded by Satan. He's behind it all. Listen. You know what would do the average Christian a lot of good to realize that there is a devil after them specifically? We turn it into some fictional character or some Looney Tunes type of thing with a guy running around with a pitchfork. Listen, the devil is after you. I don't think, Tim, we grab a hold of that most of the time mentally. Listen, he wants to take you down. He wants to destroy your life. He wants to devour you. He wants to mess you up. Listen, any potential you have, any future you have, he wants to wipe that out. And guys, he's good at what he does. And if we help him, listen, he is going to get the victory in our lives. It doesn't have to be so, though. There's a striving. There's a battle. It's masterminded by Satan. He's behind it all. He's trying to discourage you. He's trying to mess you up. He's trying to take you down. He's trying to get you to quit. Listen, he's trying to tell you that it doesn't matter what you listen to or who you hang around or how you live. Just do your thing. It's fine. You can live your life. Listen, guys, he's trying to take you down. I would suggest you take that very seriously in your life. It's masterminded by Satan. Listen, we can be manipulated by our own sin. And there's a multitude that's trying to sway you. The whole world is going after this. How can we be stable? When he's talking about be steadfast, here's some areas that you can be steadfast in. Be stable. Guys, be stable, first of all, in what you believe. We call that doctrine. Be stable in your doctrine. Listen, be stable in what you believe. Don't be blown around. Ephesians 4:14 says this, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. You know what that's saying, guys? Don't just go with what's popular. Don't just go with what's blowing strongly nowadays. You based your life off of what is true, what the Word of God says. Listen, have you done that? Have you done that? And how do you reaffirm that and fortify that in your life constantly? Be stable in your doctrine. Listen, don't go based off of personality or what's persuasive or what's popular. Listen, you base it off what the Word of God says. The Bible says that we need to earnestly contend for the faith. You know what that means? Fight for what's right. Hold on to it. Don't cast it aside. The Bible talks about Colossians 2:8. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. You know what it's saying? Listen, don't allow the things of this world to move you. A lot of people have been moved and they act like it doesn't matter anymore. Listen, guys, I don't care what the prevailing opinions are nowadays. You have to base your life on what the Word of God says. Okay? On your doctrine, on what you believe. Guys, it shouldn't be that just a preacher comes in town and it completely changes your whole doctrine of perspective every 2 weeks. All right? I've seen things like that. That's not a good thing. Listen, yes, we can learn from people. Yes, we can add on a thing here or there that we learn from people. But listen, our doctrine should be settled. It should be established. It shouldn't be that we have a major renovation every couple weeks in what we believe. Be stable in your doctrine. Also, in this section, be stable in your doing. What I mean by that is your practice. Be consistent. Listen, guys, look up here. Look up here. You know the problem? We don't have enough consistent guys, faithful guys. Listen, we have guys that do good for a couple weeks or maybe a certain part of the year. Man, they're on fire for God. And then Justin, very often, right back down. Guys, we need people that are consistent. Consistent. Are you going to be in your place? Are you going to have the right mindset when you're here? Listen, we all know that we can be here, but 1 week I've seen guys, and Tim, they're on top of it. They're excited. They're every word, they're hanging on it. The next week, they're falling asleep. It's like, hello, are you the same dude as last week? You remember that the Bible's important, that it's true? You remember that? Right? Listen, it's 1 week they're up here, the next week they're down. It's like it doesn't matter anymore. It does matter, and it does matter all the time in your practice, in your doing. Listen, how about your soul winning? How consistent are you with that? How about your tithing? Listen, guys, if you get paid, 10% of that belongs to the Lord. All of it belongs to the Lord. But he asked us to be giving 10% of that back. Listen, are you consistent in that? Listen, we need guys that will be consistent. And we can't just wait until guys turn 25 or 30 and then say, you know what, I think I'm going to get serious about this Christian life. We need guys that right now will say, I'll get consistent with it. Listen, if you're 15, 16, get consistent. Get consistent. Listen, you can lead somebody to the Lord. You can challenge yourself to give out a certain amount of tracts every week. You can do that. Listen, we all hear the stories of the great preachers that do it. Listen, don't worry about that. How about in your life? What can you challenge yourself to do more and be consistent and faithful in that? And in your service, in your stand for the Lord, can we count on you to say, listen, this guy, he'll be there. He'll be there and he'll be doing his job. If we need something, I know he'll be on top of it. Listen, we need guys like that. Be stable in your doctrine. Be stable in your doing. Be stable in your demeanor. Listen, in your demeanor, what I mean by that is your attitude, being positive, being pleasant. The Bible says serve the Lord with gladness, right? Serve the Lord with gladness. Not because we have to. Not because, oh my goodness, I can't wait till this is over. No. Serve the Lord with gladness. The Bible talks about the joy of the Lord is our strength. The Bible says rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Listen, how's your attitude all the time? Do you have days where you're just not feeling it? Do you just have days when you don't want to be a part of it? Say, man, I don't really care about this today. You got to have something in your mind that clicks you out of that to say, you know what? I'm going to stand before the Lord for today. I'm going to give an account for this day. And Lord, I need your help. I get it, right? I get it. There's some days you're not feeling it. Some days I'm not feeling it. But I have to say, Lord, help me to push through this. Help me to get my mindset where it needs to be. Listen, serving the Lord, believing what's right, doing what's right, and having the proper demeanor. I'm into it. I care. I'm committed. I'm locked in. And check yourself with this. By the way, and this is just for everybody in the room. Listen, a good way to keep your mental approach sharp. Listen, that's why I think we should give our best to the Lord as far as how we dress. If you don't have dress clothes, just wear the best you can. I think a lot of you guys do really well with this. But listen, I would say that's a way that you can keep yourself mentally sharp. It keeps you in the right mindset to say, you know what, this is important. This is important. Listen, when Tim goes to work, he has to dress a certain way. When you do certain activities, you dress a certain way. If we get too casual when we come to church, you know what we're saying? It's just like I'm at home watching TV. No, it's not like you're at home watching TV. This is the house of God. This is the work of God. Listen, and when we open the Bible, it's an important thing. So let's work at this, all right? Your demeanor, and then one last area in your devotion. In your devotion, why do you do what you do? Why do you do what you do? Listen, all these things should build on each other. Why should I have the right kind of attitude? Why should I be pleasant and positive with these things? Why should I be doing what I need to do consistently and believing what's right? Hey, guys, it's because we should do it for the Lord. We should do it for the Lord. That's what should make it consistent. That's what should make it be faithful throughout time. Listen, we should do it. You guys know the verse in Revelation. It talks about this church at Ephesus. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee because thou hast left thy first love. You know their problem? They got to the point they were doing all the right stuff outwardly, but there was no heart to it. They forgot why they were doing it. They weren't doing it for the Lord anymore. They were doing it maybe for people's expectations. They were doing it just because that's what they had always done. And Jesus comes to them. He's saying, listen, I have somewhat against you. You've left your first love. Hey, why are you in class today? Why did you read your Bible this morning? Why are you doing what you're supposed to be doing right now? Is it just because of that reason? Because you're supposed to? Or is it because I love the Lord? I want to get something from Him. I want Him to control my life and guide my life. Guys, keep your motives right. The Bible talks about we need to love God with all our heart and soul and mind and strength. Everything that we have. I like the verse. It's in 2 Corinthians. Paul says, for we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. You know what he's saying? My job, I serve God's people. You know why I do it? I do it for Jesus' sake. Hey guys, why do you do what you do for the Lord? Why do you do what you do for the Lord? It's time to lock it in. It's not time to get wobbly. It's not time to get loose on some things. Guys, it's time to lock it in. First of all, the aggressiveness of your stand. Listen, are you aggressive in your Christian life? Listen, we don't want to see you fall. But you've got to get aggressive in your Christian life if you don't want to fall. If you want to grow, if you want to make a positive impact on those around you, you've got to get aggressive in your stand. That's why he says be steadfast. Point number two, unmovable. Point number two, the assurance of the Scriptures. The assurance of the Scriptures. I think this is talking about in our what we believe according to the Word of God. Be steadfast and then unmovable. By the way, unmovable is not a hard word to understand, right? It just means don't move. But guys, how many people do we see around us that are moving, that are changing, that are throwing out things that used to be held on to? Listen, don't allow that to happen in your life. If you ever question, what does God want me to do? You mark this verse down in this word down. God wants you to be unmovable. You learn that Jesus is God. Don't move off of that. You learn that certain things are wicked. Don't move off of that. You learn that the Bible is the Word of God, perfect, preserved, infallible, inspired, inerrant. You hold on to that. You don't cast that aside. You don't, just because people don't like that anymore, you don't move away from that. Be unmovable. The assurance of the Scriptures. How do I do that? Guys, you got to study it diligently. Bible talks about study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. When I read that and think about that, that tells me there's persistence. You study, you study, you study. Guys, we want to know what the Bible says, but we don't want to study. We want to have all the answers, but we don't want to put in the work to get the answers. And when we face a decision, we say, man, I don't know what to do. Because we haven't, on the front side, put in the necessary effort to learn. Listen, sometimes you got to look up some words. You got to look up some background. You say, man, what does this mean? What is God saying to me here? And by the way, we don't just study, Danny, so we can learn and preach to other people. First of all, it should flow through our lives and change us. And then we can help other people with it. The assurance of the Scriptures. Study it diligently. The Bible talks about those in Berea. They were more noble than those in Thessalonica. They received the word with readiness of mind and searched the Scriptures daily whether those things were so. Study it diligently. Stand with dedication. Listen, the Bible talks about, I have kept the ways of the Lord, have not wickedly departed from my God. I like this verse in Psalm 119. It says, teach me, O Lord, the way of thy statutes, and I shall keep it unto the end. He's saying, God, you teach me, you show me the way of your statutes. You show me how to live these things. And when you do, God, I'm going to keep it unto the end. I've made this dedication. I've made this promise. I'm not going to move off of it. Can that be you? Those that have taught you the things from the Bible, Are you going to cast it aside when it becomes something that maybe gets in the way of your popularity? Bible says holding fast, this is Titus 1:9, holding fast the faithful word as he hath been taught. Hold fast the faithful word as you have been taught, as it's been entrusted to you and handed to you. Don't move away from it. Bible says, continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and been assured of. Guys, when God gives you something from the Word of God, don't move off of it. Study it diligently. Stand with dedication. Don't allow it to be moved to the side in your life. And have some devotion. Have some devotion to it that you're not going to move. Listen, we can talk about all these things, that this is the mind of Christ, and it is. That God has exalted His Word even above His name, and He has. But you know what? What are you doing with the Word of God in your life? What am I doing with it in my life? Stay there. Don't cave. Listen, Paul got to the end of his life, said, I have fought a good fight. I have kept the faith. He said, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. You know what he's saying? I stuck it out. I held on to it. I didn't change from it. Guys, the only way he could do that is by staying there consistently. He earnestly contended for the faith. Mark 12, Jesus said, do you not err not knowing the Scriptures, neither the power of God? Listen, guys, when you don't know the Scriptures, you get off track. You err. That's what it means. It means to get off track. Hey, I don't want to have that for my family. I don't want to have that for my life. I don't want to have that in some way in my life that would mess up or hurt other people. But you know what, Ethan? I got to hold on to that. I've got to get a hold of that for myself and not change off of it. Not change off it. Point number three and last, guys. Point number three is the advancement in your service. The aggressiveness of your stand. Be steadfast, right? Be steadfast. Be aggressive. Point number two, the assurance of the Scriptures. Be unmovable. Hey, young man, your job is to be steadfast and be unmovable. Don't move. When you learn these things, listen, you don't learn it and hold on to it because it's my opinion. But if it comes from the Word of God, don't move off of that. Listen, guys, if it's true, it's always been true. And I don't care what the politics say. I don't care what the prevailing line of thought in the world is. I don't care how wicked the world gets. It will not change the fact that it's true. You need to hold on to it. Be steadfast. Be unmovable. Point number three, the advancement in your service. He says, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Always abounding in the work of the Lord. That word abounding, it means to overdo it. To overdo it. This is talking about working hard to the point of exhaustion. He's saying, listen, you need to be growing always. Listen, in your service for God. Listen, guys. Pay attention. We're almost done. In your service for God, are you abounding? We talked about earlier, maybe you can challenge yourself to give out more tracts. Maybe you can disciple somebody and say, hey, how can I help them grow and get established? But you need to be growing always, always abounding. Abounding means to overflow. Listen, he's saying you need to be growing always, always abounding, always growing. Listen, when's the last time you've grown? When's the last time you challenge yourself to grow in your Christian life? You know the people that fall? The people that don't grow in a long time. They get stale. They get stagnant. They get to the point where they can't remember the last positive step that they've made for the Lord. And they're just kind of cruising, hanging there. Listen, the devil's going to take you out. You've got to be aggressive. You've got to be growing, growing always, always abounding. And then he says, geared to a certain area. Listen, when it says always abounding, this doesn't mean in your hobbies. This doesn't mean in the amount of money that you have. This doesn't mean your knowledge of sports or of a certain TV show. Listen, he says, always abounding in the work of the Lord. What is the work of the Lord? Serving God. Serving His people. Listen, it's picking up people for church. It's inviting people. It's giving out those tracts, giving out those flyers. It's praying for people. Listen, that's the work of the Lord, guys. Listen, are you growing in that area of your life? It's geared to a certain area. He says, in the work of the Lord. Listen, when you serve God, God takes note of that. And he says, your labor is not in vain in the Lord. You know what that means? It's not empty. It's not worthless. It's not a waste of time. Hey, guys, that needs to be a promise that we hold on to. Hey. Somebody needs to hammer this down in your thoughts and in your thinking. Listen, because when you get discouraged, and we all get there from time to time, you need to say, you know what? My labor is not in vain in the Lord. It's not in vain. Listen, if you try to serve God and it doesn't seem to work, it's not in vain. It's not in vain. Listen, if the results aren't what you wanted them to be, it's not in vain. It's not in vain. It's not a waste. It's not worthless. Listen, you keep that stamp down in your heart and in your mind that when it feels like, guys, the devil's behind it all. He's trying to discourage you and say, oh, it doesn't matter what you do. He wants you to get to the point where it says, ah, man, it doesn't even matter what I do for God anymore. That's not true. That's not true, but he will inundate you with that message and have that all around you if you don't watch it. But you need to say, you know what? I'm not listening to all those people. God, what do you say about it? God says, it's not in vain. It's not in vain. What you do matters. What you do counts. What you do is making a difference in the lives of people. Listen, guys, you need to be growing always, geared to a certain area. It's in the work of the Lord. And there's a guaranteed awarding. He says, it's not in vain in the Lord. Guys, you lay up for yourselves treasures on in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. Listen, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. You can amass the treasures of this world, but they'll all be done away with. But you lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, those things will never be diminished or done away with. That's also, it harkens to what Paul says in 2 Timothy 1:12. He says, for the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed. For I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. You know what that's talking about? He's saying all that struggle, all that work, all that effort that I've put in, God's able to keep my deposit. Everything that I've entrusted to God, when he's talking about he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day, Paul's saying I put a lot of effort into it. God is able to keep that deposit that I've put there, and it's waiting for me in heaven one day. And guys, the Bible says, let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Listen, in your particular Christian life, you say, what do I need to do? World's changing, but things are getting more wicked, and it's harder and harder, it seems, to live for God. You know what, guys? You can't be buying into all the noise around you. You lock it into what God wants you to be. You say, well, what does he want me to be? He wants you to be aggressive. Aggressive in your stance. Steadfast. Standing strong. Firm. Resolute. Determined. And the assurance of the scriptures, unmovable. Hey, we have no call to be moving away from what we have been taught. If it's the word of God, if it's true, guys, there is no reason to move off it. There's no reason to change off of it. And it hurts my heart to see people changing all around us. Listen, should not be us. Should not be us. Listen, be steadfast, be unmovable, and then be always abounding in the work of the Lord. Why? Because everything I do for God, everything I invest, whether the kids turn out or not, it's not in vain in the Lord. Everything I do for God, listen, guys, it will never be a waste of time. Because even if the people don't make it here on earth, God says, I see what you're doing, and I will reward that for all eternity for what you're doing. Hey, guys, listen, this is not just written to preachers. This is not just written to the people back in Corinth in that day. This applies to us today. Are you being aggressive? Are you being unmovable? And are you always abounding in the work of the Lord? If not, why don't you ask God today, God, what can I do in my life to where that I'm resolute, to where that I'm unmovable, and God, to where that I am growing in my work for you. There are people around here that you can make a difference in their life, that you can help them with. But you know what? Some of us got to say, God, what do you want from me? What do you want from me? Guys, it's not time to get loose. It's not time to get wobbly. It's not time, with all the things changing around us, for us to say, well, we don't really know what we believe anymore. It's time to lock it in. So you got to get aggressive, you got to get unmovable, and then you need to say, God, how can I advance in my service for you? Let's bow our head and close our eyes.